We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Hardest decision I've got to play. Which car I'm going to take when I stay. I'm riding big, yo, big, yo. I'm riding big, yo.
Right. Hockman and Crowder show here. Solana filling in for Hawk. You still laughing at me from back more?
How shook are you?
Are you good, bro?
I'm good. Okay. I'm good. That got to me though, man. Like I don't know what I said. I like blacked out. I'm sweating. I had to change my shirt.
Man, listen, you miss a tackle, you bounce back, baby. You got to play second. That was first down, baby. Come on, play second down with me. Third down. We got another series to play, bro. It's only 3 o'clock. Let's go.
No, take me out. Take me out, coach. Take me out.
We got another series. Let's go. Second quarter.
Man, whew. If you don't know what we're talking about, here, go ahead and play it. This is how I sent the show to break just 2 segments ago. Let's take a quick break here. Back more on Hawk and Crowder. Back more on Hawk and Crowder.
That's not English. That's not English. I know we're late.
It reminds me of you haven't watched it, but The Office, there's a character, Kevin, when he decides one episode where he's just going to talk like that. Like, why me say more words when less words make me quicker? Like, it's a quote, something like that, where he just starts talking like he's a baby, because why not? Like, why talk in complete sentences when people understand him anyways? And maybe that's what I don't know. I don't know what I was doing there. I panicked, and I sent it to break in the most uncomfortable way I could imagine I could ever do it. Let's take a quick break here. Back more on Hawk and Crowder.
You know what? Actually, like with sports, when you have a play call, you don't say like cover four, you'll call it green. You know, like you have one word because to your point, you got to speed things up. You want to get on the field and play. Solana, we're on an audio medium, bro. Like an extra width, back width more is not really going to hurt us that
right.
much. The play's not going to start.
Right. Like cheating. To just not say as many words isn't probably the best way to go about doing a radio show. In other words, right, Crowder? Like maybe I should speak in complete sentences.
The opposite of what we're trying to do here. You know, like I said, one missed tackle doesn't lose a game, baby. Let's go.
That's right. That's right. Let's go. Let's go. Game mode. Game mode. It's a 305.
Dale.
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 God bless. Dale.
As I mentioned earlier, Hawk is off. We were kidding that he's still, he still has PTSD with his interaction with Nick Saban yesterday. Somebody tweeted us if he's in a kolache coma from eating too many kolaches at Buc-ee's. Speaking of Buc-ee's, Crowder, I wanted to get to this, and I meant to tweet it yesterday, but I didn't. You know what's highly underrated at Publix? We love Publix, right? Like, we always talk about their subs. You once had a take on the show that spiraled into like a weeks long conversation. Their fried chicken, which is elite. It's even better cold. Like, how many items are better cold than they are hot? And that's one of them. But you know what's extremely underrated at Publix? Those cooked grilled rotisserie chickens in the in the deli section. Do they have that at Publix? They come in like the paper bags. They're already made. They're under the warmers. I had that yesterday for the first time in years. Bro. that bleep is good.
It's so delicious. You know what? My kids get hot because I'll get an 8-piece fried chicken for myself, and I get them the rotisserie because, you know, it's healthier in my mind.
Right.
It's not fried.
Right.
It's not laying in grease. Man, they have barbecue. They have mojo. They have lemon pepper. They have all kind of delicious damn chicken sitting over there under that heating lamp.
Yeah, man. It's great. Like, I wrote that down yesterday. I was thinking what we're going to talk about. The NBA season is over. And then, you know, thankfully, Tyler Hero gifted us with just being the opposite of what heat culture is. But I was like, man, I want to tell Crowder how much I love the rotisserie chicken from Publix. Because it's one of those things where I haven't had it in so long. It was really good. It deserves more respect. It deserves to be up in the conversation with the pub subs. Because everybody romanticizes about the pub subs. Like, the rotisserie chicken, throw some respect on it.
Oh, man. But if you have to... You have to have a hierarchy of Publix deli items. You got to go Pub Sub first.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine, but I still think the rotisserie chicken is in the conversation, isn't
it? No, the wings are above the rotisserie. The eight piece is above the rotisserie.
No.
Yes, man.
The wings from Publix.
The spicy, hot and spicy wings are better than the rotisserie. I just said it. Anything fried, you throw anything in grease, bro. anything you throw in grease is going to be a Skittle. Fry a Skittle, it's better than a regular Skittle. Bro, greasy ass food is delicious, man. Anything in rotisserie might be number 4 or 5 on the list.
If we weren't limiting it to deli items, though. The Publix chocolate chip cookies. They'd like, you go to Publix, you walk out of there with a pub sub and the dozen chocolate chip cookies. Like, that's a good day. You can't really beat that in terms of having a good or bad day. You walk into Publix, you walk out, chicken tender sub and some Publix chocolate chip cookies. Like, you were going to have an amazing day for the rest of your day.
I got to stop past the little seafood section and hit that sushi.
Oh, so you do the Publix sushi.
Yeah, I don't do the sushi.
I don't eat fish. I'm allergic. So
you're not allergic. You're not. Don't do what kids do when they don't like nothing. They're allergic. I'm allergic to broccoli. Nobody's allergic to broccoli. You're not allergic to fish. You don't like it. Grown ass man. Get out of here with that.
It's the best way to get out of anything. I'm allergic. Sorry, I'm allergic. I can't do that. Can't eat the sushi. I'm allergic.
People do that all. You come to my house, you'll be hot with me. I'll make so much dip in different mixtures with all kind of crap in it. And you'll eat the hell out of it. You're not allergic. You just don't like it.
Let's get to headlines. Again, we're going to talk to Brian Scalabrine next. I'm a little scared, Crowder. Or not scared, but maybe I'm actually excited is the word, because I don't know if you remember last week, but for whatever reason, I played Maxine Nightingale, the song. I can't even remember what the name of the song is. Right back where we started from, right before Scalabrine came on. It was our rejoin music, and Hawk was just dancing, and he was calling it churning butter. And... we played it for Brian Scalabrine, and then when I told Hawk, because Scal normally joins us on Mondays, and I told Hawk, yeah, you know, he had to reschedule Big 3 conflict because Scal's still playing in the Big 3, and I told him he's going to join us on Thursday, and Hawk was like, oh, I'll be out that day, but don't forget to play Maxine Nightingale for him. Like, it was so weird. Like, Hawk, like, had this thing where he's like, you better not forget. Like, don't forget. That's his song now. And I didn't realize that was like a thing moving forward. But apparently that was very important to Hawk, that I play Maxine Nightingale for Brian Scalabrine.
Well, play it for him. If he gets mad, I don't have your back. He's too damn big. I choose my battles.
Yeah, I mean, he's an NBA champion, too. Like, there's actually a lot I want to talk to him about. This was a headline today across the sporting world as I awkwardly transition into headlines. Amin El-Hassan. He was on the Rich Eisen show, I think. He's doing stuff with Meadowlark Media now or whatever. But he spent some time in a front office. He was an NBA analyst for ESPN for many years. And he kind of took Monty Williams to task. Remember yesterday I told you Monty Williams jumped into the locker room after the Bucks won the championship. And I guess he kind of paused the celebration and celebrated with or thanked them and congratulated them on winning an NBA championship. And I want to pull up the exact quote from Amin here. But, bro, like, did you see this? He kind of took shots at Monty Williams, and he said that what he did was basically him trying to steal the moment from the Bucks.
Yeah, kind of selfish, isn't it? Like, do you care? Does Giannis... Does Budenholzer, does P.J. Tucker, does Chris Middleton, do they care that Monty Williams respects them more because we just bashed your damn head in 4 games in a row? Like, it was cute, and everybody's like, oh, that was a class act. I'm kind of with, and it's, I know this is a minority opinion, I'm kind of with a meme where, like, why? Stay in the loser's locker room. Be the loser you are. Nobody cares. Like, you, after, why after games doesn't every coach come over and say, hey, great game, guys? No, we know it was a great game. The scoreboard said it. The scoreboard let us know it's a great game. This big-ass gold trophy let us know we had a great game. I don't need Monty to come tell me we played a great series. The world knows we played a great series. You know what? I think I'm on the wrong side of this one, but I really do feel that way.
So here's the quote from Amin, and he said, I felt it was a little too look-at-me Louie out there. I mean, you're going to walk into the winner's locker room in the middle of their championship celebration, make them pause the celebration to say a big speech, come on. And then it was a little bit more. It was a full conversation. You know what? I yesterday when we talked about it, I didn't have a problem with it, and clearly the Bucks didn't, because nobody from the Milwaukee organization said anything or whatever. But here's the way I rationalized it. In 2012, Crowder, when the Miami Heat won their first championship with LeBron James, similar circumstances, maybe not the same. LeBron certainly had higher expectations coming into the league than Giannis, but both players beloved, both players expected to be great, and both players had some trouble getting over the hump of winning an NBA championship, right? So LeBron finally does it in 2012. They beat the Oklahoma City Thunder. Imagine if Scottie Brooks interrupted the Heat celebration in their locker room to come in and say, hey guys, I just wanted to congratulate you and I wanted to say thank you. And, you know, I learned, like, imagine had Scottie Brooks done that and the video went viral on Twitter, people would be slamming Scottie Brooks for interrupting LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh's first title together, right? So why is it okay when Monty Williams does it? Is it because we like Monty Williams and he's well-respected across the league? Like, Heat fans, be honest, Heat fans would not have been cool with Scott Brooks doing that to the Miami Heat.
One thing, they might not have opened the door for Scott Brooks.
They didn't open the door for Drake. You think they're going to open up the door for Scott Brooks?
I'm telling you, they might have told him we're not home. Vacant. Get out of here, Scott. But also, UD might have smacked him in the back of his neck. Like,
right.
You know what? The respect of it, I get it. Wrong place, wrong time. Wrong place, wrong time. Call me later, or even on the court. On the court, come up to me and tell me that, because they all give each other love hugs post-game. During your post-game love hugs, tell them, you made me a better coach, you made us a better team. Oh, here you go, you made us, Giannis, thank you so much, you made me a better coach. But to interrupt in the locker room, I'm telling you, man, I don't know if this is a bad opinion, but I'm right there with it. No, bad look. Like, leave them alone. They already won. You had a chance to win, and you lost four games in a row, Monty. Put your little hat on, whatever little weird hat you had post-game, and just keep riding.
We'll ask Scalabrine that again. Brian Scalabrine is going to join us in the next segment. The Marlins, they'll play the Padres tonight. They begin a four-game series. Inter Miami, they lost 5-0 yesterday to New England. All their best players were healthy, Crowder, and they all started. Higuain, Pizarro, Robbie Robinson, I think is the only guy you actually know on Inter Miami. Blaise Matuidi, they all started together for the first time since the second game, and they got blown out by the best team in the Eastern Conference. Like, it was bad. They were down 4-0 at the end of the first half. It was an embarrassing showing from Inter Miami yesterday.
So they get whooped shorthanded, and they get whooped with full strength.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Kind of tells something about their team. That
not
team
looking
tells
good.
You something. Yeah,
not looking
team.
Good
they
for
play
Bex.
Like a team that's never played together. It's quite incredible.
I want to start.
Literally the worst kind of soccer I've ever seen. Is that
I want to start a movement. And before it was kind of just a bit on this show where we would read my brother's tweets about Inter Miami. Hey, at this point, let's start it. Let's start the movement to get Daniel Solana as the new head coach or the new manager of Inter Miami. I mean, at this point, who cares? You might as well. You could trot out anybody to be the manager of Inter Miami. It couldn't get any worse.
I just hearing his stories. I don't know what he's going to ask Higuain to do at halftime. If his stomach's hurting him or something. I don't know if Daniel can be around other grown men like that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yesterday, Ryan Youssefi, friend of the show of the Miami New Times, he tweeted, if I'm going to start campaigning to get my brother Daniel to be hired by Inter Miami. And I got a couple tweets about an enema. So it kind of just a weird way that my radio career has turned, where my brother and me are now most known for me giving him an enema. Just very, very weird. Very weird turn of events there.
Y'all have a special relationship.
Yeah, yeah. I do want to get into some NFL news. We'll do that after Scalabrini. Quickly, though, your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Accident Attorney Weather Center. Call 24-7 at 866-954-MORE. I told you in the 2 o'clock hour, and it's still the same. Hot as hell outside right now in South Florida. Is it raining in El Portal? Because here it's beautiful. Like there's no clouds. It's just so hot. The sun is beating down. Hectic right now.
Same thing. Just hot as hell here. No clouds. It's a beautiful day as long as you got air conditioning on you. But if you hit that sun, yeah, that's bake out there. That's convection bake out in that damn sun.
That's right. You know, I don't have a car that you could press the button before you get in it and it turns on the AC automatically. But, bro, like, my next car, I'm going to have to invest in that because that's a game changer, total game changer. If your AC can be on for a couple minutes before you jump in your whip, like, that's a huge game changer.
I think that's a waste of gas.
All right. It's a waste of – what are you talking about?
It's a waste of gas.
It's not a waste – you don't waste gas with the AC on and you're not driving.
Is your engine on?
Your engine's on, yes.
What's making your engine run?
The gas, but you're not wasting
gas. So your engine's running on air, water. What's your engine running on when it's on?
It's running on gas. But when you're not driving, the amount of gas you're wasting it's nothing. You're not wasting any gas if it just sits there for a couple seconds while the AC cools up your car. Come on, don't be cheap.
Why don't athletes run around the stadium or arena before the game? Just a quick jog. Because they don't want to waste their damn energy. They don't want to waste their gas. Alana. No, man. I know what runs an engine.
All right.
It's combustible.
Right. Ridiculous.
No, it's not ridiculous. It's a waste of gas. We have three cars, me and my wife. All of them had a little automatic starts. If my wife automatic starts a car 15 minutes before getting in, we're going to argue that night. Argument that night.
I'm not talking about 15 minutes before you get in the car. I'm talking about 2-3 minutes before so your car gets a little cooler. Oh, you're that stingy with your gas? You're not willing to make your experience more comfortable the first couple minutes in the car? That's how your wife's right. She should start at 15 minutes before just to piss you off.
And you know what? And it's gonna be an argument that night, and I'm gonna act funny for a long time. I'll get in the bed. I'll build a wall between us in the bed with pillows, just to let her know I don't agree with this gas wasting in my house.
You're ridiculous. Brian Scalabrini, NBA insider for Odyssey Sports. We'll talk some NBA finals with him next on Hawk and Crowder.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
You bloat.
I bloat.
Hawk and Crowder.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I still have no idea why, Crowder, but this has turned into Brian Scalabrini's song when he joins the Hawk and Crowder. I don't know why when he joins the Hawk and Crowder show, but this is his song now.
If I remember, I don't think he enjoys this song, if
no,
I remember
he hates
correctly.
It. Okay, I believe he hates it.
You know he's a big old fella, don't you?
Yeah, look, it's not up to me. Hawk is out today, so it's Crowder and Solana. I'm filling in for Hawk, and Hawk told me, because Scal normally joins our show on Mondays, but there was a conflict, so we had to push him to today, and we're always grateful when Brian Scalabrini takes the time to talk some hoops with us, and Hawk was very clear when he told me, don't forget to play Maxine Nightingale for Scal. So this is on Hawk. This is not on me.
I ain't getting beat up for Maxine Nightingale, so this is on you. This is for sure on you.
I was laughing because I told Steven, our producer today, I told him, you know, when you call Scow, let him know that Hawk is out, of course, and that it's Crowder and Solana. And, you know, I figured Scow doesn't remember me by name, but just tell him I'm the dude with the torn ACL. So I'm sure Scow remembers me as the dude who tried him and then tore his ACL a week later. So I'll never even get to play him in basketball.
Weak bodied.
Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Brian Scalabrine, over a decade in the NBA. He's an NBA champion. He's also an excellent broadcaster, and he's still balling in the Big 3 Basketball League. He is one of our Odyssey Sports NBA insiders. Insider calls are brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Were you churning butter there, Scal, when you heard your song?
No. I can't believe you guys did that. Like, you have the freedom to be you. And the fact that you're trying to be Hawk, which is, like, we already talked about last week, you can't do that. You got to just be you, Solana. Like, you are the guy who tries and tears his ACL trying. That's you.
He just musically tore his ACL again.
You got to stay in your lane. You know, like, you got to know Giannis is Giannis, Booker is Booker, and Bryn Forbes and, you know, whoever else on the Bucks bench is whoever they are. Thanks. That kind of thing.
Right. Okay, noted. Scout, I'm willing to take notes from you. You're an NBA champion. You're an established role in NBA media. Like, I'm willing to learn from you. Next week, a little Whitney Houston for you. Since last week you said Whitney Houston was on on your playlist. So does that sound a little better?
Yeah, I've actually graduated even further now. I have Whitney, Mariah, and Beyonce, a couple of divas. I've been listening to the divas right of late. So that's what I'm into right now. But who knows? Summertime's coming. I might switch over to a little Zach Brown. You never know with me. I'm all over the board.
All right. Scal, this is something Crowder and I were talking about right before we brought you on in the last segment. And I don't know if it was fair or not, but there was some criticism today of Monty Williams jumping into the Bucks locker room celebration to congratulate them on winning. And he thanked – it was heartfelt. You could tell Monty Williams truly went into the Bucks locker room after his team lost. And he's a good dude. And I think people like Monty Williams, and it was heartfelt. He was thanking them for making him a better coach, and he learned so much from this series. But as a former player, would that have bothered you? You won in 08 with the Celtics. You guys are in the locker room. You're celebrating. KG is probably drunk as hell already. Like, would that have gone over well if Phil Jackson walks into the locker room during your celebration to kind of dampen the mood for a minute so he could tell you how much he appreciated the basketball that was just played?
Well, you can't compare Monty Williams to Phil Jackson. Like, that's not – Monty Williams has been first class all the way. He never said anything bad about the Bucks. It wasn't any, you know, coaching warfare or anything between the two guys. And I think him and Mike Budenholzer coached together with Pop. So those guys were obviously, they respect each other. So I guess in a way I wouldn't have liked it, but I wouldn't have hated it either. And if, you know, but if Phil Jackson would have rolled on in after the, you know, like the mind games, the Zen mind games that he played during the series, then, yeah, I probably would not have been cool with that. We probably would not have turned down the music, and we probably wouldn't have stopped partying. So, but I respect Monty, and I understand why he got a little bit of criticism for that, but I think he did it from a genuine place. I don't think he was being malicious or making it about himself, which other coaches in the past maybe have done.
And Scal, you bring up the celebration, and I had to go here first because you talked about the post game celebration. I looked it up; it was on a Tuesday when you beat the Lakers.
On a Tuesday
when you beat the Lakers in Game 6 to win your championship. Giannis didn't go party; he wasn't hungover. He went to Chick-fil-A and ordered some damn chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
Run me through Scalabrine's post-game Game 6 celebration after winning the Larry O'Brien Trophy, and I will almost guarantee 50 Chicken McNuggets had nothing to do with your celebration. Run me through that night for you.
Yeah. So, you know, I love how players, when they get older, they retire. I got no regrets, right? I really do regret championship night. Not in a, like, I did something that I regretted. I actually regret that I didn't do something I regretted, if that makes sense. Like, I really, if I could redo it, I'd party till 2 or 3 in the arena, and I would be in the streets all night long with the fans, with the people. So I didn't do that. I partied, you know, with the squad. We popped bottles. It was phenomenal. Took pictures, a million pictures with the trophy, all that stuff. But after that, I wish that I would have just, like, really pulled an all-nighter and went bar hopping with just the common people. You know, just going out and celebrating the city, celebrating the championship with the city, which I learned after the fact that it's very much, when you win a title, very much a part of the city as it is a part of what you're doing with your organization. So I do regret not partying until the sun came up, but I was in by 3 o'clock in the morning.
Do you remember your first meal after the I guess there was probably food there. You guys go out, but, like, do you remember your first meal after winning the championship? I'm sure it wasn't Chick-fil-A. I'm sure it wasn't chicken nuggets.
No. Yeah. It was like they had food there. So the one thing I remember is going to the locker room and, like, doing the bottles and drinking a few. And then I made my way onto the podium completely drunk at the time. So that was very interesting. But then, you know, we had some food there, settled in, went to do the pictures, congratulated, all the people in the organization. Because, you know, like, when you realize it's not just the players, the coaches, it's everybody. Like, all the people selling tickets, the people selling corporate sponsors, like, all those people are in the grind with you, and they're living the highs and lows and the emotion of all of it. So you just say, you know, like, and you're not talking to those people while you're in the journey and winning a championship. You're so focused on going to the game and executing and getting there and making sure that you're ready, And so I think it was more about a celebration of that than it was about, like I said, like I wish it was. I wish I would have done all that and then partied all night.
And Skyle, you're speaking about that 08 Celtics team. That was quote unquote super team. KG was there, you know, Paul, Ray, and all those guys. Giannis took a shot at super teams post-game when he was like, he did it the hard way. He could have went and joined some other team. He did it the hard way. How did you, playing on a quote-unquote super team, feel about Giannis's post-game expression of almost diminishing those all-stars getting together, changing free agency to build a championship?
So I think right now there's a lot of discrepancy because of the statement that Giannis made about what exactly is a super team. So, like, this has been going on for about ever since Giannis made those comments. And a super team, in my opinion, is where the players dictate themselves. And I don't think the KG, Ray Allen, I don't think that constitutes a super team, only because the Minnesota Timberwolves wanted to move on from Kevin Garnett. They didn't have a successful year. The Seattle Supersonics with Sam Presti, they wanted to move on from Ray Allen. The Celtics just happened to have all the assets to get both of them in the same year. So when people say super team, I think the Miami Heat, and you look at it and you go to Wikipedia, the super team, they would say, is the Miami Heat getting together in free agency and joining. So all NBA players from different teams joining up with that, you guys know, Dwayne Wade. So I don't necessarily look at the Celtics as a super team, so therefore I don't look at Giannis's comments as, you know, like, towards us. I think it's more geared towards James Harden, who has in the past said things about Giannis about saying, if I was 6'11", it'd be easy for me to go out there and get MVP too. So I think those comments were more geared towards James Harden joining up with Brooklyn, but I don't look at the Celtics as saying the players are dictating what they are making, which is a super team.
Yeah, I happen to agree with you, Skyle. We're talking again to Brian Scalabrini. He's an Odyssey Sports NBA insider. I will say though, and I agree. I don't think the Celtics coming together the way that they did, your team with KG and Ray joining Paul Pierce, it's not the same as what LeBron and Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade did. But I do think at the time, it was considered a super team just because we hadn't seen it done before, where these three perennial All-Stars came together and you know, we're playing on the same team. But you're right, it's not the same as LeBron and Chris Bosh three summers later deciding as free agents and taking things into their own hands and saying, we want to play together and we're going to figure out any way to do it. So I happen to agree with you, but I still do think, like in 08 when you guys won, it wasn't bizarre for your team to be called, you know, the Big Three or a super team, because at the time you just hadn't seen that yet.
Sure. I mean, I get all that. And then I think it's about organizations like being ready. And I think that's changed the NBA, no question about it. And I don't know if LeBron James does that with Miami Heat, if the Boston Celtics don't do that with KG and Ray Allen. So even though I do believe that the first super team is the Miami Heat, I also agree that the Celtics sort of kicked that thing off by going out there and getting these 29-year-old all-NBA type of players and being able to trade for them. It's not to say that, you know, like it was difficult back in the day, but it all goes back to different salaries. Like, you know, nowadays, three free agents that make $36 million, it'd be almost impossible for three guys to do that. But at the time, and the way that now the players are – and the players are smart, like the way that Anthony Davis has manipulated getting out of New Orleans, or the way that James Harden got out of Brooklyn, or Paul George and Kawhi Leonard teaming up down in L.A. Like, this stuff is happening. And I don't personally have a problem with players, because I do think that we hold people to the standard. Like, we're now looking at Giannis – as a completely different player because he's won a championship. And I think ring chasing is part of the deal. But I do believe that it's a lot harder the way that Giannis did it, like sticking through it, staying with his team, you know, like operating that way, than it is like kind of joining up and you know, Kevin Durant joining the Warriors.
Right. So what does this mean then for Giannis and the Bucks? Like, can you see this core when – Anthony Davis, if Anthony Davis and LeBron are healthy next season, whatever additions they make to that roster, if the big three in Brooklyn is able to stay healthy, I know it's a long shot because of their injury history, but if they're able to stay healthy, you look across the league, there's a plethora of guys who missed time this year in the offseason that could have altered whether it was the Suns or the Bucks being in the NBA Finals. Like, is this trio of Giannis, who's clearly 1A, right? But then Middleton and Drew Holiday, like, is that team good enough to compete year in, year out for the next 5-plus years in the NBA for an NBA title?
Well, obviously, I think at this point, right, we're realizing that all you really want to do is just be in the conversation, and then you got to get the right matchups. Like, if who's to say that Brooklyn doesn't play another team and get hurt, and then, you know, like, and Milwaukee never has to play them? We don't know what the matchups are going to look like next year. So, you know, you want to be in the conversation. You want to be in the conversation that you can win a championship if the things go your way. And I think I was surprised. Phoenix Suns, I would have never put them in the conversation at the start of the year. But it's now starting to look like there are more and more teams heading into this. Atlanta Hawks are another one. Who knows? Like, if Giannis never came back and Trae Young was healthy, who knows? Like, Atlanta could end up in the finals. So I do think the Milwaukee Bucks are in the conversation. But Vegas right now has – the Brooklyn Nets, number one, the Los Angeles Lakers, number two, as the favorite. One team I'm really looking at is the Golden State Warriors. Like, if they can, they have two lottery picks. They have James Wiseman. They have a big salary in Wiggins. They can, you know, put those three guys together and go out there and get an unbelievable Brad Beal, Damian Lillard type of player. And now all of a sudden you're creating another super team, you know, minus to Kevin Durant, add in Damian Lillard or Brad Beal. So the Warriors are a team you got to look at. So I do think the Bucks will be in the conversation, and I'm really curious on the growth. You guys remember, after Miami lost to Dallas, how much better were they next year? And then after they beat Oklahoma City, they were untouchable the following year. So that Miami Heat team, they made huge strides each year that they played, up until I thought the last year when they were kind of run down. But, you know, like, maybe the Bucks are 10-20% better than they were this year. And maybe Giannis, after going 17-for-19 from the free throw line, what if he becomes an 80% free throw shooter and he all develops confidence based on that particular game six closeout game in the NBA Finals? So I don't know where the Bucks are going to go, but I do know they'll be in that conversation.
And Scal, change of pace here, bro, on the way out. I know the Big Three season starting. I know y'all had a win last Sunday.
Yeah.
Correct, y'all won last Sunday. I believe you playing a couple nights.
Big game this week. Power with Tino Mobley. Those guys are big. They're strong. They're tough. Our guys are a little bit smaller, so we're going to have a big-time matchup. 10 a.m. Eastern on CBS. You want to watch Leandro Barbosa go against Tino Mobley.
And I want to ask you, I know there's a difference in the Big Three and the NBA, but, do y'all watch film? Do y'all, what's the practice schedule? How much different is it preparing for a Big Three game than an NBA game?
Well, the game is a lot more – it's a lot simpler, right? With 10 guys out there, your timing, spacing, execution has to be so on point. But with 3-on-3, it's more dribble, isolation, one-on-one, backing guys down in the post. It's more it's like that. So we practice 30 minutes the day before. So everybody comes through and we go over a couple plays that Power is going to run and how we're going to guard it. Then we go over a few things offensively. And then, we go out there and we hoop. So it's nowhere near what you would consider the NBA and how they prepare, going to practice every day and shoot arounds and stuff like that. But the game is a lot simpler with just three guys out there.
He's Brian Scalabrine. We appreciate you joining us. As always, Scal, next week I'll bring it stronger on the music.
You got it. Thank you. Talk to you guys.
That was Odyssey NBA insider Brian Scalabrine. Insider calls are brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. We know life is busy, so come to Shell to fill up, save up, and snack up to make the most of the stop you need to make. We'll take a quick break. Back with more, Crowder. on Hawk and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
You're telling me I show up at a kegger in Germany. I got to bring my cup?
Well, no, there you take your Das Boot.
Hawk and Crowder.
Crowder, have you seen any of the videos from the Milwaukee Bucks championship parade that's surfacing on Twitter? I saw some on Instagram.
I saw that they don't know how to drink.
They don't.
PJ Tucker spitting out liquor. Brandon Jennings spitting out liquor.
Just wasting champagne.
Yeah. What is going on there?
I told you that the whole celebration the night that they won in the locker room was lame. Before they got to the locker room was lame. The fans inside the stadium, didn't even seem hyped. City of Milwaukee, I always thought, heavy beer drinkers, party city. They're proving me wrong. They're proving otherwise. What the hell is Brandon Jennings doing on the parade? That's confusing to me. I get Brandon Jennings was the original Bucks and Six guy when they were playing the Heat. And, he put on for Milwaukee. And he took them to the playoffs a couple years. But to be in the parade, isn't that weird? Brandon Jennings, of all people, spitting out beer during the Bucks parade. He had nothing to do with the team. He's been retired from the NBA for years.
You know what? And you brought it up, and we argue with you. And I actually argue with you. I'm because those 60,000 people, the videos of those 60,000 outside the arena, Solana, on game night, they were wide open. The fans, I'm going to say, I'll have a problem with you saying it wasn't cool, because they were wild. Even at the parade, they were going wild. They were throwing basketballs. They were throwing beers to the guys. The Bucks fan base is off the chain. But in a little deeper thought, let's just think about the Heat. We know Dwayne Wade parties. We know UD hangs out. We know LeBron will hit the streets. You knew Chalmers is going to go, and, he'll go enjoy live. Just tell me the fire started for the Bucks, Solana. Is it Giannis? No, we know that. He went to Chick-fil-A. Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, Bobby Portis, PJ Tucker, Brooke Lopez, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Connaughton. just tell me, if you're a Bucks player, Solana, your knee gets right, you get in the NBA, you go to the Bucks. Friday night you want a party. Name the first call you're going to make. To what roster player are you going to call to hang out on a Friday night?
It's crazy, but I think it's Brooke Lopez. I think it's Brooke Lopez.
Come on, man.
I'm telling you, Brooke Lopez, him and the Lopez brothers are fun. The Lopez brothers are fun, bro. I'm telling you, who is it? Bobby Portis? I wouldn't be caught dead anywhere with Bobby Portis because I don't know, like he's such a wild card. Right. He's got the crazy eyes. He has like that Lance Stevenson effect where you know he's gonna pull off some weird stunt. Like you just don't wanna be around him.
Yeah, PJ Tucker feels like he just wants to fight everybody. I don't know.
Yeah. Even PJ Tucker's picture looks like he's ready to fight. Yeah, Bobby Portis is gonna be on some real weird stuff. You're gonna be in an alley somewhere. To your point about their party being lame, I think the sum of the humans at the party can create lameness. And just looking at this roster, bro, if Brook Lopez is your go-to, I can see how you can think this party's terrible.
Giannis did do something funny, though. Somebody passed him a ball as he's on the parade float, and he waited 18 seconds to shoot it into the crowd, which is funny. That's good trolling there by Giannis Antetokounmpo. Coming up in the next segment, Crowder, I'm going to blow your mind. It has to do with the Milwaukee Bucks. It has to do with Giannis Antetokounmpo. And it has to do with Eric Reed, TV voice of the Miami Heat. For years now, for about 2 years, we've been laughing at the way Eric Reed botched Giannis Antetokounmpo's name a couple years ago on the Heat broadcast. I have evidence that Eric Reed, in fact, did not botch Giannis Antetokounmpo's name on the broadcast, even though we have tape of it. Huh. Yeah, huh. It's incredible. It was unbelievable when I realized it last night. Again, that's coming up. You don't want to miss this because it might change the whole fabric of the Hockman and Crowder show. The whole Giannis Antetokounmpo bit that we do every time Giannis is brought up, it might change it. It might change it all. So some groundbreaking stuff coming up next on Hawk and Crowder.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Adetokunbo for three.
Hawk and Crowder.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.